If you love the Divergent series by Veronica Roth, then stick around because this is Faction Fandom. Welcome back, everybody, to episode 23. Thank you. I try. My name is Stephanie.
My name is Alyssa.
I can already tell this is going to be a fun episode.
We're going to have a good time tonight.
It's a shame we don't have some alcohol going on. Anyway, you've got something in the oven, though. What are you cooking, by the way?
I am cooking flapjacks, which is a British thing. Flapjacks in England are they're like oat cakes, but it's not coming out right in my oven, and I'm a little bit concerned that it's not setting. So we'll see what happens.
So did you have a good Memorial Day weekend?
It was a very nice kind of chill weekend. What did I do? Oh, I had barbecue with my mother and brother, and we watched the hockey game because we're hockey people, because it's New England and we're hockey people. And
that's cool.
I mean, I cleaned my apartment too. You wouldn't know it now looking at it, but I cleaned my apartment.
I seriously thought about going into Dallas to see my family, well, because they were having Memorial Day weekend up there and I was home alone. But God, that weather. And it wasn't even like it was consistently raining. It was just off and on every other hour of the day. And they even canceled the parade here in town yesterday. Even if the sun was shining and it was beautiful, I probably would have stayed at home like a hermit and just pegged out and had my nerd fest. Because I was happy. I knew this was going to be a long weekend. I went to Hastings and rented all the Star Wars movies and all the Lord of the Rings movies.
Nice.
And I had a nerd fest weekend. And I had pizza and I had barbecue. And I had a fun time by myself.
Or just the first three?
No, well, the thing is, I'm missing the fourth one. And they didn't have the fourth one. So I went to get the fourth one.
Wait, so they didn't have...
Yeah, they didn't have the first Star Wars movie. But it was good. I hadn't seen the first three before, which is why I wanted to watch them, wanted to educate myself. And I liked them. They were really good.
You mean 4, 5, and 6?
I mean 4, 5, and 6. I mean the first three that came out. Sorry. This is going to be a confusing conversation. But yeah, I had never seen 4, 5, and 6.
Yeah. I mean,
but I
just
had,
think about it.
But I had seen 1, 2, and 3.
Soon we're getting 7, 8, 9.
I have two questions, though. At the end of Star Wars 6, when Darth Vader dies and his ghost appears.
Okay.
Next to Obi-Wan and Yoda, I think, right? Yeah. I want to know how they managed, like, 10 years later to find Hayden Christensen, who looks exactly like his ghost. Like, I don't know.
So you're going to be a little embarrassed. No, you're going to be a little embarrassed that you asked this question.
Okay, go ahead.
You're going to be actually really embarrassed as you ask this question because I'm going to tell you something.
Okay.
I think that you got digitally remastered versions of 4, 5, and 6. Look, Hayden Christensen, put him in that outfit. Put him in to the new versions of the movie. Actually had a young Darth Vader to show.
No, I don't feel embarrassed at all because this makes total sense now. This makes so much more sense.
Good.
Okay.
Because I'm like, oh my God, Stephanie, stop it. Stop it. Stop it.
It didn't occur to me.
It's not 10 years. It's like 30 years later they came out with 1, 2, and 3.
Shut up. I knew that in my head, in the back of my brain, where I don't access that knowledge. But then, okay. You know what I was thinking? I was thinking 91. I don't know why I was thinking 91, because it was 2001. You're right, though. It was like the 70s. And I don't know. You're right. I don't know why. I don't know. Ignore me.
Phantom Menace came out in 99.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
That's the first one. So
that's, yeah, that's right? The first one. So.
So yeah, the 2000s.
A New Hope.
I think New Hope was 76, wasn't it?
In 77. It's 77.
77. So 30 years later.
So 30 years later, they put a picture of Hayden Christensen in the old movie because they didn't want to have the incontinuity.
Let's go ahead and get into the episode. We do have a lot of news and some chapters to discuss, along with a really cool book tag later. But we're going to go ahead and talk about world building for a minute. You write stories, right, Alyssa?
Badly.
Or used to?
I don't write novels. I'm really bad at it.
Well, I will go ahead and tell you, in my experiences of trying to write anything, that world building is sometimes the hardest thing to do for me. For some people, it's easy as pie. And so I was just going to ask you, well, when you're reading, for instance, when you're reading like sci-fi or fantasy or things set in a different world, dystopian, do you think that has a lot to do with the reasons why you read a fantasy book? Like you read it to discover the new world, quote unquote?
The world is never really what brings me in. It's the concept and the idea of the story.
Okay.
You know, I'll fall in love with the world as I'm reading it, or I'll just be like, fuck my life. I don't want to read anything about this anymore because there's too much world building.
Okay. So sometimes it can get out of hand.
I look at the plot. It's a well-done plot. I'm happier than if it's a beautiful, it's a beautifully well thought out world. Like, mm-hmm. So I'm going to take Harry Potter, for example, because I'm clearly on a Harry Potter kick right now and my world is like revolving around Harry because it's ridiculous. So what drew me in was the concept, was this like 11-year-old boy who had no idea he was a wizard until this giant ass dude showed up and was like, what the fuck do you mean you don't know you're a wizard? Of course you're a wizard. Your parents were fantastic. You're practically famous. And the kid's just sitting there going, what the fuck is this? You know, that was my life. You know, you sit there and you're like, you experience it all with him. Now, at the ripe old age of 28, I love the wizarding world. That is like my jam.
I agree with you. I think the concept is what makes it so cool. Sometimes I'll read a fantasy or a sci-fi book, and I'll notice that I'm always learning things about the world that they're in, even when I reread the books. And I was thinking about, is this like a major part of writing? Is this like a major part of the story that like the reasoning why I love the story so much? Or is this just, cause you know, you think about genres, I guess. And I always assume that I have a favorite genre because I assume that I like that world more, that I connect with it, or I just find that more entertaining. But sometimes I wonder if, mm-hmm. and there's too much detail going into it and it kind of takes that away from the concept. But I'm with you. I think that's a good way of putting it, that the concept of the whole storyline plus this world is really cool.
Yeah.
Do you find you have a favorite? Like between fantasy or sci-fi or steampunk or dystopian or anything like that?
No, I read across the board. I'm one of those annoying people where I just sit there and I'm like, everything. I mean, as long as it's well written, I'm perfectly happy.
Awesome. Until about a couple of years ago, I wasn't very much into contemporary novels like at all. Not because I didn't like them, but because I just hadn't read a whole lot of them. I assumed that the only books that I really enjoyed were things that were out of this world, you know, something other, something different. And it wasn't, I don't remember what the first contemporary book I really got into was, but I started learning that they were just as good. Mm-hmm. And that sometimes that they're even yeah. better because they had that relatable factor, that realism. Let's go ahead and get into some of this news though, because I feel like a lot has happened, but not a lot has happened. It's interesting. Yeah. Last week, Allegiant started filming in Atlanta on May 22nd.
Yay!
So we finally have people working on that. I mean, they've been casting and looking for people for a while, but to say that they've actually started filming is a big step. Yes. And according to some of the news articles that I've been reading, they're looking for extras. I don't know if you have any listeners in the Atlanta area, but if you are there, then definitely
do it.
Yeah.
Go do it and let us know if you're in it.
Would you be an extra if there was a movie, like a casting call in your area?
Yeah. Like there have been a couple movies that got filmed in my area that I would have loved to have been an extra in, but I wasn't around for. I don't know. My area is particularly photogenic.
Well, yeah. Big fancy you have wonderful scenery and green and beautiful waters and shit. I have cactuses.
Hey, cactuses can be pretty. Cactuses can
windmills.
Be pretty.
Cactuses in Arizona can be pretty. Cactuses in Texas are not all that pretty.
That's too bad.
But back to this whole casting call thing. Yes. So if you're in the Atlanta area, they say that they're going to be using you June 10th and June 20th. So you've got a little bit more time looking for people. I don't know. Like, I think it's interesting now that I'm reading all of this. They have specific, you know, standards on what they're looking for. They're looking for Asian males, and they're looking for, you know, tall females between this height and that height. And I assumed that when you needed extras, you just called in for extras and people showed up. Anyway, moving on from that, though, a little bit after the last time we recorded, Bill Skarsgård was casted in the Allegiant movie, and he's known for something that's on Netflix. I forget what it's called.
Hemlock Grove.
Which is a Netflix original, I think.
Yep. He's done other things, but I don't remember what it is.
On IMDb, he's casted, but he's not... What's the word? Labeled as anything? It says, you know, Bill Skarsgård is casted, but he doesn't show what he's casted as. But all of the entertainment sites are theorizing that he's got to be there for Matthew, which is a character in the third book who he's friends with Triss, I guess, more or less. I'm trying to remember what he does. Maybe he explains stuff to her, like explains the world. You know, because it's like new and they're trying to figure out what everything is. He's like their guide or something. I don't know. But he's important. We're hoping that's what's going on for him. Meanwhile, did you know that Stephen Chbosky was a writer on Allegiant, the screenplay? Not just in general. He's a writer, obviously.
I was going to say that, yes, I did know he was a writer.
Have you ever heard of this guy called Stephen Chbosky?
Yeah, I mean, a couple times. No big, kind of a big guy. Now, like, he wrote this little book called Wallflower.
What's it called again?
Something Wallflower.
Something about wallflowers. Anyway, I was surprised, though. I was looking on IMDb, and I thought, wait a second, really? Really? And, yeah, he's one of the screenplay writers, which there are others, but... I thought that was pretty cool. I didn't know. It makes sense since he wrote the script for Perks of Being a Wallflower that he, you know, said he wanted to do more screenplay writing. It's an adaptation. It's something he knows.
Right.
Meanwhile, getting back into the book world, BEA started today.
Yay!
And we're not there.
We're not.
We're here recording because we are dedicated.
Stephanie.
Yeah.
Are you telling me that if you had an opportunity to come to New York and go to BEA, you wouldn't do it simply because we had to record?
No, I was completely joking about that.
That's what I thought.
But the listeners don't have to know that.
No, yes, they do.
Honestly, if I had the opportunity to come to New York and we were supposed to record, I'd be like, Alyssa, let's go to Starbucks and just record for an hour.
No.
Talk about whatever.
We should never, ever record in a Starbucks.
But back to BEA. Yeah, it started today, this afternoon. It's going Wednesday through Friday, which is the 27th through the 29th, for all of the lovely people who can't be there. And then BookCon is starting on Saturday and Sunday.
Yep. So
it's pretty packed. I think we talked about this before once, but it's pretty packed, back to back.
It's a thing.
You think those authors who are at BEA go to BookCon as well and like have to... Man, I would hate to be an author.
I don't think so. I think some cases they are, but not in all cases. Like, I'm not going this year because I have family obligations.
Mm-hmm.
I'm putting my foot down next year.
Eventually, one day. You know what I really want to do if I can save money and time is go to Fall Fest. Or no, Y'all Fest. Which is in November.
I would love to go to Y'all Fest.
That just sounds like fun.
I would love to go to Y'all Fest.
I'd be happy. It'd be less of a trip for me because it's far, but it's not as far. More about that in November. Moving on. So we talked about book releases that are happening this summer, and I only have one that I'm looking forward to. But there's a lot of stuff coming out, guys. Definitely check that out. I mean, I think there was some stuff by Libba Bray. There was some stuff by Jenny Han. I want to take a day where I can just sit on Goodreads and go through this list and just kind of, you know.
Yeah, I was really excited. The second book to The Rook, which I know I've talked about before, by Daniel O'Malley, was supposed to come out this summer. But it's now been pushed back to January of 2016, and I kind of can't deal with that.
I'm sorry.
I'm not in a good way.
Maybe Alyssa has some resentment for summer releases.
But I'm not going to lie. I'm trying really hard to not pay attention to new books that are coming out because I'm so behind my TBR list.
Me too.
It's crazy. And I can't, my problem is that I keep buying physical books. What I need to do is like stop buying physical books and start buying ebooks. Because I have a lot of traveling coming up and I really need to like beef up my collection of ebooks.
One of my favorite books I've talked about on the show before is the Fortunate Fairy Tale series by Shonda Han. And the fifth and final book comes out in like 2 weeks. So I'm super pumped about it. I've even been talking to a few of the people in the fandom on Tumblr. And we might have a book review show just for this book. And I'm super pumped about it.
Fine.
But Alyssa, I know you haven't read it.
Yeah,
but you are welcome to speed read because I know you read faster than I do through all four, and then you can join us on the fifth one.
Cool.
You can pack them on your Kindle. You can get them on your Kindle while you travel and just knock them out.
True story.
I will warn you: the first two sound like really elaborate fan fiction because it's self-published.
Right.
So there's like a couple of grammatical, you know, things about it. But once you hit the third book, it's like, it's pretty cool. Anyway, if you're listening and you've read these books, stay tuned for that later on this year. Next, we have up the Supergirl trailer.
So excited.
I know. We always talk about Marvel things and like the Marvel universe, but I'm pretty pumped for this.
I am really excited for this. My mind is just like, I was really concerned because it looked a little in the beginning of the trailer, and then by the end of the trailer, it was like, holy fuck, my mind has been blown.
Well, and you know, everyone keeps talking about how it shows a lot. Like, you feel like you've seen the first episode just by watching the trailer. But I mean, that's what? Even if that's true, one episode, there's like a whole season. Yeah. Come on. I mean, Supergirl. Come on, guys.
I know. It's all going to be good.
It's going to be fun. It comes out, what, November?
I think that sounds right.
Superhero things. Okay. Anyway, moving on. Excited. Now, I have not seen these, but I know you've seen at least Pitch Perfect, right?
I have.
What are your thoughts on that?
You know, I really liked it. I liked the first one a lot more, but I really enjoyed the second one.
Do you have to see the first one to enjoy the second one?
Yes.
Okay. Not that anyone would have a problem watching
the first one.
But I'm just curious.
There are a lot of inside jokes and a lot of things that kind of play off of the first movie where if you haven't watched it, it will make no sense.
So you got to watch the first one, which the first one's really good. So you shouldn't have a problem with that.
Yeah, you should be fine.
Alrighty. But I haven't seen that, but I am going to see Tomorrowland in a couple of days.
My brother saw it.
He didn't like it, did he?
At all. Not at all.
Oh, man.
And I'm a little disappointed about that. Yeah.
What else has just come out? Isn't there another one that's really good that just came out?
Mad Max.
That's what it is. Did you go see that one?
No. My brother saw it, though, and he is in love.
Alrighty. I'm going to be stupid again, but what is Mad Max about?
I don't really know.
Does anybody know before they go see it?
You know, some people do. You know what? Hold on.
I'm looking it up.
Mad Max. Yes. Years after the collapse of civilization, the tyrannical Immortan Joe enslaves apocalypse survivors in the desert fortress at the Citadel. When the warrior Imperator Furiosa, Charlize Theron, leads the despot's five wives in a daring escape, she forges an alliance with Max Rakitansky, Tom Hardy, a loner and former captive. Fortified in the massive armored truck of the war rig, they try to outrun the ruthless warlord's henchmen in a high-speed, deadly chase through the wasteland.
You really sold that.
I feel like the announcers from Pitch Perfect. It's got a 98% rating on Rotten Tomatoes. IMDb gives it an 8.7 out of 10. Only people who have a problem with it are the Meninists.
No. Well, then it should be fantastic then.
Then it should be great. So we're fine.
It should be fine.
We're fine. Because the Meninists are clearly just
Can we just take a moment to appreciate all the Meninist posts that you see out there? Not just Tumblr, but like on Reddit and stuff, because some of these people are just stupid. They're flat out stupid minded. And I'm thinking, is this really Meninists, how your mind works?
Meninists amuse the shit out of me.
I'm convinced that it's all a joke, that the Meninist is just a bunch of people together thinking they're going to put a joke on the world, because literally all of these things that they say and do are ridiculous.
I know.
Anyway.
So did you see the president, the POTUS Twitter account has blocked
the Meninist? I did see the POTUS Twitter account. Did I know that POTUS stood for President of the United States when I first saw it? No, I did not. I had to Google it. Yeah, I didn't know that's what it was. I mean, I figured once I read a couple of the tweets, but some of these people have some random tweets to Mr. Obama, and it's a little scary.
My favorite are the death threats.
Oh no, my favorite are the sexy ones.
I have not seen the sexy ones. The sexy ones are funny.
I can't favorite them because if I do, then they'll be archived in government.
No, don't do it.
Meanwhile, all the potheads think it's fantastic.
Well, yeah. Because you can tweet at the president when you're high.
Well, that, and they also didn't know that it was the president. They thought it was like pot us, like pot US. Like, did you see all the tweets that were like, legalize?
Yeah.
I was like, oh man.
That's not what that was.
Good job, guys. We are going to take this opportunity to keep on keeping on with the show today. So we're going to go to chapter by chapter, our segment where we talk about the book Insurgent. Pretty self-explanatory. Anyway, we're going to start off with chapter 18. Previously on chapter by chapter, the Dauntless traitor people from Erudite just came and shot everybody with these blue needle long-lasting serum things, and that's kind of where we're at right now. So Jack Kane, our fearless candor leader, decides to hold a meeting to talk about it. And he says that since the Erudite didn't target everyone, they are going to meet with Erudite and try for a peace treaty. Now, to clarify, they didn't target everybody because, one, not everybody was there. There were still some people that the Erudite didn't get to. And two, the Erudite were only going to kill the Divergent. But they still shot everybody. So I think he's just being stupid. Anyway, Triss tries to explain. But, you know, Jack Kane doesn't believe her because she's a 16-year-old girl.
No one believes 16-year-old girls. Chapter 19, we find Zeke returns with Tori, who is pretty badly hurt. And find out Zeke and Tori were not actually spies. But I don't think that we ever know that Zeke found anything out. Kara and Christina bond over Will's death, which is family and girlfriends coming together. And Kara's playing devil's advocate for Triss, going, God, what? She said something that really bugged me. She's not particularly pleasant about the whole situation. I'm pulling this up right now. She's just like, so she says that they're trained. I just need to like double check that. So she's like, they're trained to think as logically as possible. And she says, well, you know, Triss was probably scared out of her mind and not capable of assessing situations cleverly at the time. If she was ever able to do so. That's the part that bugged the shit out of me. But as a whole, I'm totally down with what Kara is saying because the simulation made her incapable of reasoning with him. So when he threatened her life, she reacted as she'd been trained to do by the Dauntless to react. I liked that. But once that happens, Tobias explains that an Erudite representative is going to be coming to the meeting with Jack Kang, not Janine. So the Dauntless decide to sit in on the conversation. Hopefully, we assume, better than last time.
I laugh. They keep trying to do all of these surveillance, and it's not really working out. But I'm with you on Kara's conversation with Christina. I really liked that too. I like that Kara and Triss both have this erudite mindset. It's very logical. And Christina just doesn't get that. So she plays a good role coming in. You know, she's someone Christina can open up to, but she can still be logical and, you know, get her head on straight.
Yeah.
Chapter 20 comes in with they're basically just waiting for this meeting to happen. But like while they're waiting, this douche canoe strolls down the, you know, cafeteria and just kind of like one of those cough insult moments, coward kind of things. Or maybe he whispers it. I don't remember. And Tobias, I just love this. He doesn't even say anything. He just hears it, gets up, walks over to his dad and starts beating the crap out of him. He's doing it very methodically. He's doing it exactly the way his dad used to beat him with the belt and telling him it's for your own good and everything. But when Triss looks at him, you know, she's trying to stop them. She realizes that he's not exploding or anything. He's got very calculated kind of eyes. And this was very pointed. He did this for a reason, basically. And her and Four aren't on the best terms. And they're still fighting, arguing, on a break, whatever you call it. And then Triss, you know, decides to take that moment while Marcus is, like, bleeding to death. To be like, hey, you know, you're going to need me. Just remember that.
Nope. Yeah, it was an interesting chapter.
Right?
So then in chapter 21, Four and Triss argue again. And most of it stemming from the fact that Triss realizes that Tobias wants to get the Dauntless Survivors' respect so that he can become a leader in the group. Which plays right into his mother Evelyn's plans, which is not basically where Triss thinks that he should be going. Whereas Tobias just sits there and is like, I want you to be smart and safe and not stupid reckless the way you have been.
Do you think he's being smart about trying basically to trust his mom?
Nobody leaves that. I don't know. He realizes that Dauntless needs a leader because they're at the end of the day, they're essentially soldiers and they can't. Soldiers don't do well when they don't have someone in charge. They need direction and they need a leader. So I think in that respect, he was being very smart, stepping up. But, yeah, so then he goes with the spy team to spy on the meeting with the erudite person and Jack Kang, where, God love it.
It's like a lot of stuff happens, but nothing happens at all.
The erudite guy tells Jack Kang that the candor is disposable. It's never good. Janine is listening in. Triss decides that she's going to charge off and find Janine, and while we are having this delightful jaunt, we find out that Peter is working for Janine now because he's a little shit.
Yeah. He's good at it, though.
He's very good at being a little shit.
But they don't actually get to follow Janine because somebody gets shot.
Shauna.
Yeah. Take her back to the Candor headquarters. And while all that's happening, Tobias sort of gives Triss this ultimatum. I guess her charging off to find Janine was the last straw for him because he tells her that she needs to stop this whole reckless without thought thing she's got going on or else they're over. And I don't know. I really like this part because he's got this line. He tells her that you're not your parents. You're a 16-year-old girl. And she gets so offended by that. But then he comes back with, who doesn't understand that the value of sacrifice lies in its necessity, not in throwing away your life. So he's like, he's not patronizing her for trying to be brave. He's patronizing her for doing it when it's not necessary.
Right.
That the things her parents did, they did because they were trying to save her life. It was honorable. And the things she's doing, there's no purpose behind them. She's just doing them because she wants that high off of the energy she gets from being reckless, and he doesn't support that. So after that, Triss decides she's going to visit Tori, and then they decide that they're going to call a Dauntless meeting because it's about time that they figured some stuff out. So all the Dauntless and Candor get together. They decide they want to go home. They want to kill Eric because he's Dauntless himself and deserves to be punished by them. In order to do this, though, they have to elect some leaders, and they decide that Tori, Tobias, and some guy named Harrison is going to be their leader. And that's chapter 22.
Yes.
Triss was originally, like, nominated to be their leader, right? But there were four people nominated, so they were going to have a vote. Tris saw that Tobias was nominated, and that's when she stepped down. So I'm just curious, did she do that because she wanted to encourage Tobias in his efforts to become a Dauntless leader? Or did she do it for Tobias and to show him that she wasn't trying to be reckless and dauntless?
I think that she did it because...
Hey, chill. You chill too. Go lay down. No. This is a non-bully household. I'm waiting. My dogs. It's like children.
She did it because the more reckless she is, the more popular she is with the Dauntless. So she realizes then that Tobias is right, that she can't be popular with the Dauntless because she's divergent.
I just remember reading that, and I wondered if it was something she did for herself or she did for him. And even if she did it for herself because she doesn't want to be labeled as Dauntless, that she's trying to be smarter and not be reckless, yada, yada, blah, blah, blah. But if that's what she's going for, she's probably doing it because Tobias told her.
Yeah, but at the same time, I think she also knows that she would be a terrible leader.
Yeah. She's smart. She's very smart and she's very clever, but I think I'm with you on that. I don't think she's like meant for leadership necessarily. Alrighty.
Our chapters were really interesting. There was a lot of action but non-action, if that makes sense. Like, stuff happens.
Yeah, it was like there was a lot of dialogue and information and I think we're at a point in the book, like more than halfway, right? Where at this point, anything that's put in the book is going to be important. And I'm excited. Yeah. I'm excited because we're getting to the meat, you know. We're all waiting for the part where Triss is going to go into Ariadne and
yes,
shit's going to go down. Alrighty. Well, those were our chapters. We will pick up next time with 23 through.
They're short chapters this time. Well, why don't we do up to 31? Because there's just not a lot. There's just not a lot of pages here.
All right. Yeah, let's do 31. Does that mean you want to read 31 or you want to read up to 31?
Let's read up to 31.
So we'll read 30. We'll do those chapters next time. We are going to go ahead and move on now to our game. Cattytastic on YouTube came up with this Disney book tag. And it was pretty entertaining. And I was thinking about it. And I'm trying to think of my own answers. And there's some really interesting things in here. So I wanted to pull that up in the spirit of Disney. Because I like Disney. I'm a Disney fangirl. I don't care if Alyssa is or not. So the first one is Little Mermaid, a character who is out of their element or a fish out of water. And I chose Meghan Chase from The Iron King because in this book, Meghan is human and she ends up going into the fairy tale world. So she's in this position where she's learning all about like the fae world and the magic and the glamour. And she's really confused about a lot of it, that she's just out of her element.
I picked Jacob Janikowski from Sarah Gruen's Water for Elephants because it really is him getting thrown into a situation that he has absolutely no training for, has no idea what to do with. I mean, short spoiler, his parents die early in the book, just as he's about to sit for his exam to get his veterinary degree. He essentially runs away and during the Depression jumps on a train, which is a circus. And he gets hired on as the veterinarian. And this is so intensely out of his normal frame of life.
He's working with the most eclectic group of animals.
He's working with elephants, giraffes, and lions.
Hey, this is my book tag. Y'all aren't allowed to be on it. Go lay down. Lay down.
Alrighty, number two is Cinderella, which is a character who goes through a major transformation. And I keep thinking about Cinderella like somebody who goes through a physical transformation. And then I picked one. I chose Triss from Divergent. because she goes through so much character growth. And we even see it in the book now that we're reading through the chapters. She's learning so much. She's, you know, dealing with so much stuff that's happening around her and her family. And by the time, you know, the third book rolls around, she's a completely different person. And she's so much honorable for it. So I definitely chose Triss Prior.
My choice would be Chiyo Sakamoto from The Memoirs of a Geisha. She's taken from her home in a fishing village in Japan and is sold to a geisha house in Kyoto. And it just from there begins this transformation from fishing village girl to geisha.
Mm-hmm.
And it kind of just goes through World War II and all of those experiences. And it's basically one big, long transformation story.
Alrighty. Let's see. Number three says Snow White. And this is pick a book with an eclectic cast of characters. This one's a little bit easier.
This one is a little bit easier.
And I chose the Parasol Protectorate series because I can't think of a book that I love that has a more variety cast of people in it. I mean, on top of it being steampunk and everybody plays like literally a different species, everybody plays their own role, you know, and their yeah. personalities are so distinct and it's perfect. It's like Alexia isn't just the main character. There's so many cool characters in that. You've got Lord Akeldama and Lord McCone and Lyle and Biffy and Alexia's mom is even a piece of work. So there's a lot of really cool people in this series, and I really liked it.
It's a good one. A book series that probably not a lot of people know about. It's called The Enchanted Forest series by Patricia C. Reed. And
okay,
it's about a princess doesn't want to be a proper princess. And basically what you get is a really interesting cast of characters. They're like not regular princesses. You've got dragons who talk. You've got regular princesses. You've got a stone prince. You've got a witch who's ginger and fantastic and has like 20 cats.
I like how you say she's ginger.
I love her. Morwen is my favorite. I mean, it's just fun people and characters, and I love them. So
that is my
Snow
White. Alrighty. So number four was Sleeping Beauty, and this is a book that put you to sleep. Do you have a book like that? Do you fall asleep to books often?
There's absolutely no rhyme or reason to it. It's just that my eyes start getting heavy and I can't deal with life, so I start falling asleep. And then I realize that I started to fall asleep, and I put my book away and go to bed. I've never had a book that was so boring to me that I legitimately started falling asleep, because none of my books are boring.
Even a textbook?
Textbooks are different, Stephanie. They don't count.
Well, I'm just... Okay.
Textbooks don't count.
My answer would be Wicked by Gregory Maguire. It was very hard to get through. And I had the hardest time getting through this book. And it's not because it was boring. It was because it's so wordy. I would space out even in the audiobooks. I'm an audio learner. That's the best way for me to read is through an audiobook. And I would even get distracted through that. And it's not good. Next up we have number 5, which is The Lion King. And this says to list...
Are you quite finished?
It's great. I'm going to call this episode 23, where dogs make their entrance. Good grief. To list a character who has something traumatic happen to them in childhood. Harley's going to chime in a little bit. Apparently, she feels like she's having a traumatic childhood right now.
Yeah. Here's my problem with this one.
Okay.
A character who has had something traumatic happen to them in childhood is basically the premise for about 80% of young adult novels.
I don't know.
Seriously. So for this one, I'm going to go ahead and throw in a very, very obvious one. Very obvious one.
Okay.
Harry Potter.
Okay.
I don't even have to explain it.
Very good. No, it's good. It's done. It's Harry Potter.
Truth. That's it. Done.
Truth. I got a little bit more realistic with this, I guess. I try to take a step back and think about what would be traumatic to me. My number 5 for The Lion King was Eleanor and Park. Specifically Eleanor from Eleanor and Park. Because she had a pretty crappy childhood. And I can't imagine what it would be like for me if her stepdad's a piece of work. So,
true story that.
She's my girl.
She's great.
I feel for her on a personal level. Yeah, everybody loves Eleanor because she's so bitter and fantastically sarcastic, and we love her for that. That was our number 5, and we're going to move on to number 6.
Yay!
Which is Beauty and the Beast, which is a beast of a book, which basically means a big book, that you were intimidated by, but you still found the story beautiful. I cheated. I chose the same book twice. And Wicked is my book for this one as well, because it is so big. I was intimidated by it. I wanted to read it. It scared the hell out of me. So by the time I did get to the end, I was pretty proud of myself.
Good. I'm glad. I think we're all intimidated by Les Mis, Anna Karenina, War and Peace, Crime and Punishment. Anything by Oliver Twist or by Charles Dickens. I don't know why I just called him Oliver Twist. I think like a lot of the classics, a lot of people are just basically intimidated by. That's where I guess my book would have to be. I struggled through Dante's Inferno.
Oh, I like Dante's Inferno.
I love it. It's a beautiful, beautiful book. But I really struggled through it because I have a really hard time reading epic poetry.
Mm-hmm.
Just because for whatever reason, I can never get the cadence down. It never reads right in my head. And that was something I really struggled with as an English major when it came to epic poetry. Like, I love Shakespeare, but I struggled through Shakespeare because of the iambic pentameter. A lot of people find that really easy to read, but I really struggle with it.
Okay.
So that's something, those are books that I found to be particularly intimidating and beast-like, but beautiful. They're gorgeous beast-like stories. Aladdin.
Yes. Moving on to number 7, Aladdin, which is a character who gets their wish granted for better or for worse. This one I had a hard time with. Like, yeah. I couldn't think of a character or a storyline where somebody just wants something and gets it, because that's not the true form of struggle and perseverance.
So So now that you've said that, for some reason that definition just like made a lot of sense to me, and now I have one. Ali Cooper from Tamara Pierce's duology, The Trickster's Choice and Trickster's Queen. Okay, so spoilers, just in case anybody decides they want to read this. Allie's father is the king's spymaster, and she wants to spy, but her mother won't let her father won't let her, so she runs away. So she gets her wish in this really kind of awful situation. Yep.
I went with Cress. From Cress. Marissa Meyer. Simply because she thinks she's going to die in the desert. And she says, I'm going to die before I ever get my first real kiss. And he's like, I'm not going to let that happen. And she's like, promise? Promise. And then at the end of the book, they have this moment where they think they die. And he just turns to her and kisses her in the heat of battle. And I just was like, I died because I ship them so hard.
I ship them.
And it's beautiful. Her whole story is beautiful. That's her Aladdin story, I guess.
Yep.
So number 8 says Mulan, which is to list a character who pretends to be someone or something that they are not. I went really easy with this one. And I chose Maribaro from The Red Queen, who literally has to lie to the people about who she is.
I'm going to go a similar route and go with Darrow.
Okay.
Red Rising.
Red Rising.
He has to become someone he's not. That is what it is. Yeah.
Okay, so number 9 says Toy Story, which is to list a book with characters that you wish would come to life.
The problem is I don't want any of my characters to come to life. I want to move to their world.
Yeah, I get what you mean. I chose, I Live Happily Ever After.
I don't want to move to that.
So I chose that because it's the one book that has all the people in it. It's got all my faves. And I want to be friends with them. I want to meet them and hang out with Anna and Lola and Cricket and Josh and Isla and Etienne.
And again, your answer has helped me find mine. I'm going to go with the Gallagher Girls series by Allie Carter. They're all spies, and I love everything about them. But it's set in like the real world. Would they really? But I like the idea that they could teach me.
Exactly. All right. Almost done. Number 10 says Disney Descendants. And this is, have you heard of the Descendants?
I have.
Yeah, I'm sketchy about it too. I don't know.
And I'm kind of torn about it.
It's supposed to be this Disney Channel original movie, which I've got an issue with their original movies, but whatever. It's about all the Disney villains' children. That's coming. And for this one, they ask you to choose your favorite villain or morally ambiguous character.
My villain or morally ambiguous character is actually two of them.
Okay.
From the Night Circus. So I'm looking at Alexander or Mr. H, the man in the gray suit, and Hector Bowen. They're the two guys who are the leaders of the competition that Celia and Marco go through. The challenge. It's called the challenge. Sorry. It's really cool. They're pretty ambiguous as to what their goals are to it and, you know, what the situation is and how it's going to move forward from there. It's kind of cool.
But still, the principles that they place this challenge under is just so crazy.
I know.
It's like, once you figure that out, who does that?
I don't know. It is a good one. Thank you.
Bravo. I'm going to go with Tag from the Unfortunate Fairy Tale series, as if I haven't plugged this book series enough already, by Shonda Hahn. Okay. And I'm going to have to spoil a little bit, because the reason why he's my favorite villain, essentially Tag is this prince who, back in the day, his parents magically like divided his soul kind of thing, where they put all of his bad in one person and all of his good in another person. And all the bad stayed in Tag. So he's our bad guy. The good is this character named Jared, and he's our love interest. And eventually, through some events, they get thrown back together in one person again, in Tague. And now you, like, root for him because you like Jared, but you also hate Tague because he's evil. And I just don't know what to do. And I don't know how the book is going to end. And I love it. And I don't know. It's going to be fantastic. I'm going to die eventually. He's like the Bay of all villains. Anyway, so that is our Disney book tag. Let's move on. Let's do some things we're good at, like recommendations.
Okay.
So yeah, like in the spirit of the Disney book tag, we should just recommend a book plus a Disney movie, or just a Disney movie. I don't care.
I have two. So okay. Cliche, in a really cliche way, Beauty and the Beast is mm-hmm. one of my all-time faves. I love everything about it. I have a deep, undying love for Mary Poppins. Just never ending. I will never, never not love Mary Poppins. And if you haven't seen Mary Poppins, I don't want to know about it until you have.
That's a good one. I love Mary Poppins too. I love anything with Julie Andrews. She's the best.
She's beautiful and wonderful and flawless.
I really, really love The Little Mermaid. The Little Mermaid's my favorite Disney Renaissance movie. Yes,
it's a good one.
I wanted to be a mermaid when I was a little kid. My grandparents had a pool in the backyard, and I always loved to go swimming because I like to pretend I was a mermaid. And I let my hair down and watch it in the water fan out like a siren. It was great.
Who with long hair has not done the jumpy uppy hair flip?
The whole point of having long hair when you're a kid to go in the water and do that.
She's pretty fab. Although I do kind of love how in the original Hans Christian Andersen version, the girl that marries is not an evil sea hag, but actually a really very nice girl. And the Little Mermaid is so overcome with grief that she kills herself and turns into foam.
I like how that's the part you like about it.
What I like probably more than anything is when I can go back and torture people with the original versions.
The original versions are the best when you're bitter. I also really like Rapunzel, though. I just really like Rapunzel as the story. I think she's cute. She's just a bundle of fun. I guess if there's nothing else to add, Alyssa, that's our episode, huh?
I think so.
We have an email today before we leave. Do. You'll love it. I saw this name, and I was pronouncing it Sinab.
That's what I would go with. Our email is from Sinab from London. Thank you so much for emailing in. This is very exciting for us. She wrote that, "This is the first time I've listened to your podcast, and I have to say you guys are amazing because I'm a total Divergent lover, and I understand everything you guys said." Thank you. Oh, I'm so excited about this. Well, first of all, I'm excited for like five different reasons. First of all, I'm excited because you're from London. You got my whole flapjack thing, not like me having to explain it. So my flapjacks came out a little sad from the oven, and I'm not particularly pleased about that. The second thing that I'm really excited about is that you emailed in at all, because that's always really exciting. We love it when people email in. And speaking of which, I really hope we said your name right, because, and please tell me if I did say your name wrong, because I don't want to do that. Number three is that I'm thrilled that you can, you know, understand the things that we say, because sometimes I think we go off tangents and don't always make the most sense. But then again, Stephanie is really good at editing.
Oh, it comes y'all together eventually.
You all don't know our amazing, epic podcasting experiences.
We have some experiences.
For example, this evening, we spent, I think we're on hour three.
third hour and the third time recording.
Oh man, it's brutal. We have some issues. Somebody else needs to come on this podcast. They can understand our pain.
I'm grateful that Alyssa's a patient with me. She has a free day and doesn't have anything else to take her time, because if she had like a better life, she'd think, screw this.
If I had more of a life, I totally would still make time for you, Stephanie.
Oh, you know what? That just warmed my icy heart. I may thaw out a little bit.
Oh, grow two sizes too big.
Yes, it did. Two sizes. Break out all the movie big references. It did. And bust it out.
Oh man.
But yeah, she's fantastic.
She's wonderful and we love her. And Sanab, you should feel free to write to us at any time.
I love that you put where you are from, because a lot of times we don't know that we've got people, you know, in London, we have people in Washington, there are people in Italy, I know for one, Denmark is one. It's nice to know where you're at, because we kind of get a sense of, you know, how far the podcast is reaching to. If you want to write in and let us know where you are listening from, you can email in to us at factionfandompodcast@gmail.com, or you can tweet us at @ffandompodcast. It's like two Fs, @ffandompodcast. You could always follow us on Tumblr at faction-fandom. And that's all I got. Do those things. We appreciate the support. Until next time, my name is Stephanie.
And my name is Alyssa.
And y'all have a great week. Bye.
Bye. Pinot holds up wine glass. Pinot Noir holds up wine glass in a trench coat. It was a rainy night. The kind of night that asks a man who he is.
Did you really not know what? I thought that was a bit. Oh, man.
No, I couldn't remember the name. Something to do with it. You know what? Make it a bit. Make it a bit.
So, do you remember how you texted me a picture of your hair and you're like, this is how I'm going to wear my hair forever whenever I'm an old lady?
Yeah.
I think the braid is going to be my signature hair whenever I'm an old lady.
And now my internet sucks.
Don't you love when that happens?
Whoa, my internet sucks. Because within the first 5 minutes of the West Wing episode, the first episode of the West Wing, POTUS gets into a bicycle accident, and somebody reads a beeper, because it's the beeper era, and goes, POTUS, who's POTUS? And the guy goes, my boss. And he goes, your boss sounds like an idiot. And the guy turns around and goes, my boss is the president of the United States. Chapter by chapter. Let's do this shit.
Now I got it through my eye. It's so cold in my mouth.
Spit it out.
That's gross. You'll see that.
Literally, I could care less. I do it all the time.
If I can show you my dead mouse in my room, I'm pretty sure I can show you anything at this point.
True story.
Never act unconfident. First rule of professionalism. Professional radio. Maybe some short stories. I'm going to write a small novel type of book about the struggles of the 21st century woman and what happens when the internet doesn't work. And it's going to be fabulous and it's going to sell like hotcakes. I'm going to make millions of dollars. This is going to be a thing. So if you want
I love it. Let me know. I will totally be down for that. You know what? If you want other people submitting to your thing, I could write a really fantastic open letter to internet providers.
Oh, that'd be great. Saying we're already mass marketing it. It's going to be fantastic.
I don't like The Wizard of Oz.
What?
Yeah. Like okay, it all.
Go ahead, explain yourself.
I have no specific reason.
Did you find it scary as a kid?
No, I just don't like it. Period. I'm like, one of a minority. And I hate everything about it. From the original books to the movie. About the only good thing that came out of the movie was the fucking song, and even then, I'm kind of over it. Like, the only good version of that I can still kind of sit through is the Iz version, because his little Hawaiian thing is fantastic.
I'm like you, though. I was trying to think of some classics, but the truth is that I've never finished a classic.
Really?
Not even Pride and Prejudice. That's pretty embarrassing.
Sweetie. No, it's not.
Yeah, but... man. All right, well, I'll email it to you then or something, because I don't know if it'll fit.
I don't know. Just send me a message with the link. I don't know, Stephanie. Email me.
I can email you. I can do that.
You have that capability.
Can you send me a message?
You could text me.
That's what I said.
You have all sorts of abilities. Hell, Snapchat.
I was gonna take a picture of this and send it to you, but I figured if I had it typed, then you could just go on and read it instead of reading the picture, because my picture would have come out fuzzy. And next time I'll know better. The boy up in the tower, and he's yelling at his dad, "You shouldn't have left." And the dad was like, "I was gone 5 minutes. Why'd you do that to your hair?" And the kid's like, "You did it to my hair," or something like that. I don't know. It's hilarious. Look, she's got Mickey Mouse ears on her sweater. You see that?
I love it.
Is that what that is?
She wore, no, I think it's, that's her hijab.
My Texas twang wants to say Saynab, but of course I know that's wrong, because...
Pull it back.
Negative.
Pull the American back.
And then we put it out there hoping somebody somewhere will watch it one day.
Read it.
Or listen to it.
Listen to it. Please, yeah. God, don't watch it.
Whatever. It's getting so late.
Please, God, don't let them ever find these videos. No, Stephanie, could you imagine if anybody saw these videos?
Oh my god. Mm-mm.
Oh man.
On the one hand, who would want to? And on the other hand, what kind of sick weirdos are going to be out there who would want to? Like, I'm scared for that.